WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The shutdown now in its fourth week, beginning to impact Americans who rely on key programs, along with federal furloughed workers who are not getting paid. ABC's Selena Wang is at a food bank in Washington, D.C., where they're preparing for an influx.
Here in D.C., I spoke to the CEO of Capital Area Food Bank. They are preparing for a surge in demand, as you not only have furloughed federal workers who are missing paychecks, you also have thousands of federal workers who have been fired. She says that starting this week, they're setting up additional food distributions specifically to help federal workers and contractors.
Today, Democrats holding a marathon speech on the floor against President Trump's policies, led by Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon. He's been talking since 6:24 p.m. last night. The U.S. military carrying out another airstrike, according to two U.S. officials, on an alleged drug cartel boat. It happened last night. One of the officials says it took place in the Pacific west of Central America. This is ABC News.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. In an update to a story we've been following, Governor Tony Evers has signed a bill meant to bolster EMS staffing in Wisconsin. One of them reimburses students for their EMS classes taken at Wisconsin Technical Colleges. Another sends additional funding to those programs. Sometimes classes there are at risk of being canceled because there aren't enough students who sign up. On top of that, these bills allow rule exceptions. Those exceptions allow joint departments to use more money from villages, towns, and cities. The bills also create a pilot program for 911 video calling to allow dispatchers to better respond to emergencies. Data from the National Emergency Medical Services Information System shows EMS and paramedics responded to more than 60 million calls across the country last year. In 2020, that number was about 43 million. We did the math. That means in 4 years, calls for EMS nationwide have jumped by about 38%. The latest numbers from the Department of Health Services show there are about 19,000 EMTs, paramedics, and other medical first responders across Wisconsin. And another Republican candidate has entered the field for lieutenant governor in 2026. Small business owner Will Martin officially announced his candidacy for the race, joining former mayor of Lancaster David Varnum in the Republican primary. Martin ran for the position in 2022, but fell short in the primary. On the Democratic side, only Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has announced she's running for lieutenant governor. And a correction to a story we aired yesterday about UW branch campuses and what's happened to them after closing. We said Richland's campus was sold to a Christian school, but figuring out what's next for those buildings is a complicated work in progress. It's the former UW-Milwaukee Washington County campus that was sold to a Christian school back in August. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here is a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee, and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as an anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right, I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy, breezy northwest winds to 30 as we head through your Wednesday afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. Skies will turn mostly clear tonight. Lows in the mid-30s, a frost advisory in effect. Thursday mostly sunny. Highs will reach the lower 50s. Currently 46 degrees.
The John and Gordy Show.
Give us a jingle. What do you got for us, Dick? What do you got for us, Charles?
We have CG on the line.
Mark, what do you got for us?
We have Matt on the phone.
Joe, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Great show, as always. Your callers are the spice that makes your stew the most wonderful thing ever.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very for that much. Comment.
We have this round table, and we've got all these great listeners who call us on a regular basis and throw their 2 cents in. This is fantastic stuff.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
92.7 WMDX. All talk. No assembly required.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Brr! I was outside doing some work this morning, freezing my butt off. The fall is here, folks. Bundle up, please. Don't catch a chill this early in the cold and flu season. Also, remember to go get your flu shots. If you're over a certain age, check out the pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination. Of course, please talk to your doctors about getting your updated COVID vax. And just a note on all of this, a really good question to ask your general practitioner about vaccines is, hey, when should I get them? When is their peak effectiveness? Because if you get them early, they might not quite carry you through the peak of the cold, flu, and COVID season. And another question is, especially if you're immunocompromised, should I get all of them at the same time? A lot of physicians will recommend that you do get these vaccinations or your updated flu shot all at the same time. Generally, that is to ensure that people get these life-saving vaccinations and flu shots in the fall and winter, cold, flu, and COVID seasons. But especially if you're immunocompromised and you know that you'll get in there, sometimes it's a little easier on the system to space them out. So folks, just a little PSA to start us off this Wednesday hump day afternoon. With that business taken care of, let us jump into the headlines. Well, according to Donald Trump, if they're white, they're right for the United States. The Trump administration, this according to the Washington Post today, the Trump administration's plan to overhaul the U.S. refugee resettlement process, which basically is to try to shut it down for all intents and purposes, bizarrely coincides with an effort to prepare thousands of specifically white South Africans to relocate to the United States through this refugee resettlement system. I just want to point this out. If you are the perpetrators of a race-based apartheid government, or if you benefited from said race-based apartheid oppressive government, I don't think you get to qualify as a refugee. Maybe that's just me, but I don't know, like, oppressive racial group does not on Earth One here equal refugees. Just my opinion. If the administration succeeds in going forward with its white makes right refugee policy, almost all people that will be admitted to the United States as refugees, as many as 7,000 from, get this, a total potential pool of 7,500. Yeah, this is the effective sort of elimination of the refugee resettlement process. Basically, almost all of those people are going to be these white Afrikaners. Wow. Let's just call it what it is, folks. This isn't a dog whistle at all. It's white makes right per Donald Trump. In other hopefully more encouraging breaking news this afternoon, remember I told you about that racist Paul Ingracia that Donald Trump had proposed to appoint to lead the Office of Special Counsel? Well, he's withdrawn his nomination after the string of racist text messages came out, as reported by Politico earlier this week. This is the text stream where he called himself, or he said he had a, quote, Nazi streak. Yeah, again, see point one today in today's breaking news. White makes right. You know, the young Republicans, the white makes right over there, the appointee to the Office of Special Counsel. White, apparently ethno-Christian nationalist, makes right for that guy with his Nazi streak. This all came about because at least five Senate Republicans said that they opposed Ingracia's nomination, which is enough to block his confirmation. About time. Boy, you think they might regret confirming RFK Jr.? Maybe the nut job that's running the Department of Defense? Who knows? And I just want to make this note. Setting aside the white makes right Donald Trump policy for everything, including his now former nominee to lead the Office of Special Counsel, setting aside this guy's virulent racism and affinity for Nazis, and apparently, therefore, by extension, genocide, here's Ingracia's background. This guy was admitted to the New York bar last year, so he is a baby lawyer. The Office of Special Counsel is an office filled with lawyers. Their jobs are incredibly important. They deal with whistleblower complaints, you know, actual federal employees trying to point out fraud, waste, and abuse. Yeah, typically this office will be led by very nonpartisan career civil servants with extensive, potentially decades worth of experience in both whistleblower complaints, as well as employee and employer law. The dude that was admitted to the New York bar last year ain't what I would call a legal expert on such matters. So entirely aside from his obvious overt racism and Nazi sympathies, the guy was just unqualified. But we've got to get the, you know, the leaked Nazi sympathizer text messages to boot the guy's nomination. Ay. Totally ridiculous. And just on a related note, again, the Office of Special Counsel is, for all intents and purposes, a form of a specialized independent oversight office. Again, handles employee, federal employee, whistleblower complaints, handles employment matters writ large for the federal government. It's an incredibly important office. Again, an oversight role that Donald Trump was picking someone who is patently and objectively completely unqualified to run. And oh yeah, he also turns out to be a racist, jackhole, Nazi guy. But in that same vein, Donald Trump has now fired yet another inspector general. Parisa Saleh was the internal watchdog who had earned an incredibly strong reputation in her nearly 15 years of government service for finding fraud, waste, and abuse. This is what inspectors general do. She had risen through the ranks across a number of inspector general's offices at the State Department and USAID. You know, these agencies that have been targeted by the billionaire overlord Elon Musk. Their budget slash USAID basically doesn't exist anymore. You would think that you would want the 15 plus year experienced fraud ferreter outer lawyer that's so good at the nope, he fired her butt. It's truly shocking. Last week she got notice that the Trumper fired her effectively immediately. The reason? There was some line very vague about the administration's, quote, changing priorities. So let me get this straight. Your priorities actually aren't fraud, waste, and abuse. That's just a fig leaf cover for decimating federal government so that it doesn't work anymore for any average American, so that you can start to shutter agencies willy-nilly, especially those pesky oversight agencies like the Office of Special Counsel and like all the other inspectors general that Donald Trump has fired. I want to just, you know, most of you that have been listening to my show for a long time know that I've worked in various levels of government. I've worked in the federal government. I've worked at city government. I've worked in county government. I've done advisory work for state government. I have dealt with internal auditors, the equivalent of the federal inspectors general, throughout my career. I have at times given them legal advice. I have at times, when I was in private practice, actually helped government officials that were responding to various inspector general requests or investigations. I have seen investigations proceed over many years relating to fraud, waste, and abuse. And here's what I've got to say about it. It's not fun for people if they have someone that whistleblows or tells the inspector general's office, hey, there's some fraud or there's been an abuse of power in my department, and this very extensive investigation proceeds. It can be very burdensome. You have to respond to oftentimes voluminous questions. You have to provide documents. The inspectors will come into various departments for quite some time. They will interview employees. But it is a process, I will tell you, that is essential to ensure that government is doing the people's work, that any given jurisdiction, whether your township, a city, a village, a county, a state, and yes, even the federal government, that those federal agencies are working to serve everyone and that they are doing so as efficiently and as effectively as possible. And perhaps most important, that the people that are running those agencies aren't turning them into vehicles for their own self-enrichment, the enrichment of their families, or engaging in obvious self-dealing, conflicts of interest, directing contracts to their favored people. That is part of what these offices do. The public needs to have faith that those things are not happening. So with all of that in context, let's just look at some of the other headlines. Donald Trump and the most obvious instance of self-dealing ever is going to decide if he gets $230 million. He's decided to take a contract away from Elon Musk and give it to his new best friend, billionaire bro, Jeff Bezos. This is the kind of stuff that you need inspectors general to investigate. The Donald Trump and the Trump family's use of these cryptocurrency frauds, these cryptocurrency grifts, that's a violation of various federal laws. All of this is conflicts of interest, self-dealing, and corruption at the highest level. And so I ask you, why do you think Donald Trump has fired Inspector General after Inspector General after Inspector General? Why do you think Donald Trump wants to install in the Office of Special Counsel, which is responsible for protecting federal employee whistleblowers? Why do you think he wants a completely unqualified, and now we know, racist Nazi in that position? Because Donald Trump doesn't want to be held accountable. He thinks the rules don't apply because he thinks he's a king. I say no more. We'll discuss more of the headlines, including the $230 million self-dealing debacle that Donald Trump proposes to sign off on for himself. When we come back, don't go anywhere. Your lady lawyers here on the radio with you. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
92.7 WMDX, because somebody's got to fact check Facebook.
Autumn awesomeness awaits, courtesy of David J. Frank Landscape. Introducing Fall Porchscapes, professionally designed decor literally delivered to your front door. Installation and removal included. A hassle-free way to bring fall flair to your home or business. And consider a fall cleanup to preserve the beauty and health of your yard. There's more to a good cleanup than raking leaves. Call the experts at David J. Frank at 608-283-9276 or visit davidjfrank.com.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, and Donald Trump is in rare form with what is, I can honestly say, to the best of my knowledge, and I did some poking around, a situation that has never occurred before in the entirety of American history. And I know we use the word unprecedented all the time to talk about what Donald Trump is doing. Gutting IG's offices, appointing lackeys throughout government that are facially unqualified to do the jobs, gutting ethics offices, basically saying no one can conduct any oversight of Donald Trump because I am amazing. I'm the only one that can save America. This is the guy's approach, right? But there is no bigger grift, an instance of self-dealing than the fact that Donald Trump himself is going to pay himself $230 million for what I'm going to call completely illegitimate, legally spurious, irrational administrative complaints that he filed related to the investigations he faced during the Biden administration for all of the crimes that Donald Trump committed in his first administration. There are specifically two administrative complaints at the root of this, one related to the probes into his 2016 campaign's alleged ties to Russia. By the way, like, not alleged, Don Jr. in Trump Tower met with a Russian operative. They talked about Clinton. Donald Trump basically invited Russian interference from stages during his 2016 campaign. And let's be clear, Donald Trump then later appeared to extort Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for dirt on Biden. That was impeachment 1.0. That's one of the complaints. The other one is about the 2022 Mar-a-Lago search and accusations leveled against Jack Smith. If you would have turned over the documents that the National Archives, the FBI, and the DOJ had been begging Donald Trump to turn over a year following his exit from the White House after his first administration, there would have been no raid. And by the way, Jack Smith, again, just for the factual record, wasn't appointed special prosecutor on that case until after the flipping raid took place. It boggles the mind. This is self-dealing. You don't get to approve your own legal settlement. You don't. It's really insane. And any lawyer would get this question right on their ethics exam, unless you work in the Trump administration. And listen to Donald Trump talking about this. It's mind-blowing. Take a listen to this.
The New York Times is reporting that your legal team is seeking $230 million from your own Justice Department now in response to the investigations into you.
It could be.
Is that something you want your legal team to
do? I don't know what the number is. I don't even talk to them about it. All I know is that
I'm sure you don't.
They would owe me a lot of money, but I'm not looking for money. I'd give it to charity or something. I would give it to charity, any money. But look, what they did, they rigged the election. And as you know,
let's shut this buffoon off. I can't even listen to the rigging the election nonsense again. You mean just like he gave to charity before, but then it was tracked down that he didn't and he ended up pocketing the money? Here's what David French had to say about it. Quote, "It's hard to think of an action more purely corrupt than a president ordering the executive branch to pay him hundreds of millions of dollars. I cannot wait to read the MAGA defenses of this, and there will be many. They'll display Soviet levels of sycophancy." David French, I completely agree with you. This should be such a problem. And I just wanted to point this out. Trump is obviously basically has torn down the East Wing of the White House. And he's building a $250 million vanity project ballroom. So let's just put these numbers together. That $250 million that he wants to pay himself for bogus complaints, plus the $250 million for the White House vanity project. So like $500 million, all of it is ethically rotten to the core. Here are some of the funders of Donald Trump's, I can just call it a profane desecration of the White House. Oh, the Adelson Family Foundation, the Altria Group, by the way, that's Philip Morris, so big tobacco, Amazon. And guess what he did today? Yanked a contract away from Elon Musk and gave it to Jeff Bezos. Elon's real mad, which is hilarious to watch happen because Elon's big retort on X about getting this contract ripped away from SpaceX and given to Jeff Bezos is, "Why are you gay?" I'm not kidding you. This is what the guy put out on X today. I'll go on. Google, i.e. its parent company Alphabet, Comcast, Coinbase, Meta, Microsoft, Planeteer Tech. Now, these are all major donors to Donald Trump. These are all companies run by CEOs who were in the front row right next to Trump's family at the inauguration. And the list of compromising donors or compromised donors continues. It is pay to play. It is self-dealing. It is conflicts of interest. That is the watchword and guide in Trump administration 2.0. Anybody else think this is stupid and ridiculous and dangerous? I sure do. Stay tuned. We're going to come back. It's Wednesday. It's going to be 4:30 shortly. That means it's time for Broad Appeal. I'll be joined by candidate for Senate District 13, Sasha Ripley. We dig into her incredible background. And we talk about her challenges accessing affordable health care and what she plans to do about it as a state senator. I'm Maggie Dawn, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
WMDX, because somebody's got to fact check Facebook.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More than two dozen positions in the Dane County Sheriff's Office could be cut. The county is facing a $31 million budget deficit. County Executive Melissa Agard has called for reducing each department's budget by at least 4%. Her plan to close that gap also includes a hiring freeze. However, she said that would not apply to public safety positions. Right now, there are currently 28 open positions at the Sheriff's Department. But now, three county supervisors have proposed cutting those 28 positions entirely. They would take the money saved and put it into the Health and Human Services Department, the county's biggest division. That money would go toward things like the new men's homeless shelter, according to reporting from WISC. Sheriff Calvin Barrett is advocating against this plan. He says it would harm public safety, especially in more rural areas, according to WKOW. Barrett says their response time in spots like the town of Dunn or the town of Albion could be slower. On top of that, the county is set to open the long-awaited new jail in 2027. The sheriff asked how he's supposed to open a building that he can't staff. The Dane County Deputy Sheriff's Association represents almost 500 deputies, and their president says this plan would bring staffing shortages they haven't seen in almost 30 years. The Dane County Board will meet tomorrow night, and they'll discuss this measure. Meanwhile, a man has been arrested for allegedly stalking the Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. 37-year-old Ryan Thornton was allegedly asked to stop sending emails to Chief Justice Jill Karofsky. Authorities say in those emails, he demanded her home address and used derogatory language. He also reportedly said she's, quote, going down, end quote. Thornton is charged with one count of stalking. He's now out on bond with a GPS monitor. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Michael Fassbender will play Joe Kennedy in a new Netflix show from Chernin Entertainment. According to Variety, the show is called Kennedy and will be based on Frederick Longfellow's book, JFK, Coming of Age in the American Century. The logline for the show is a bit lengthy, but says it will reveal the intimate lives, loves, rivalries, and tragedies that shaped the most iconic dynasty in modern history and helped create the world we live in today. Beginning in the 1930s, the first season charts the improbable ascent of Joe and Rose Kennedy and their nine children, including rebellious son, Jack, who struggles to escape the shadow of his golden boy, older brother. Whew, it was a mouthful. The Kennedys have provided, along with a lot of tragedy, a lot of fascination from Americans. There will be 8 episodes in the first season. The series will most likely drop in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, mostly cloudy, breezy northwest winds to 30 as we head through your Wednesday afternoon, highs in the upper 40s. Skies will turn mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-30s, a frost advisory in effect. Thursday mostly sunny, highs will reach the lower 50s. Currently 46 degrees.
Herbal Aspect has landed. That's right, Madison's go-to cannabis destination now has a brand new location in Sun Prairie.
Wait, 4 locations? That's a high level of convenience.
With 3 Madison locations and now Sun Prairie, a great cannabis experience is always close by. Our expert staff is here to help, whether you walk in, call, or order online. Mention Radio 420 and get a special discount. So stop by Herbal Aspect in Sun Prairie, because great cannabis isn't just a pipe dream.
Nice, I'm rolling over now.
Herbal Aspect.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, the midterm elections might be a year away, but there is a sleeper issue out there that may be the key to Democrats winning. We'll discuss it next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Remember, if you want to see the show behind the show or hear the show behind the show, you can always watch us, including what's going on during our commercial breaks, by looking up the Civic Media channel on YouTube. We also stream live on the Book of Faces, the Gram, and that thing we used to call Twitter. Please do check us out there. Just search for Maggie Dawn Show. I am so pumped. I love these segments. We do this every Wednesday. At 4:30, I talk to women that are organizers, activists, elected officials, candidates that care about their communities and want to do something about that. And I'm really excited to bring to this segment today that we like to call Broad Appeal here on the Maggie Dawn Show, because women have broad appeal, is the candidate for the Senate District, the 13th District. Her name is Sasha Ripley. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Sasha. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me. It is great to meet you.
I was really taken with how much you share on your campaign website, which, let's get the campaign site out there right away. It's Ripley4FORWisconsin.com, Ripley4FORWisconsin.com. You shared a lot about your family's background, but in particular, when you talk about what you want to see for high quality and affordable healthcare, you shared some of your own personal challenges when you had some pretty big health challenges in your life, and shared about the challenges you had to get that quality and affordable care. And I wanted to start there because we're in this moment where Republicans are refusing to even talk to Democrats in Congress about restoring the ACA subsidies that have helped make the ACA and health insurance at least somewhat affordable, more affordable for millions and millions of Americans. So we're on this precipice, this cliff, where folks are going to be losing health insurance. You've got personal experience about that. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what went on in your life and why it brought you to this moment and running for Senate District 13?
Absolutely. I am so happy that you asked me about this particular issue, because just like you explained, I have very personal experience with what happened to me several times. So many years ago, I just out of nowhere, I thought I was healthy. You know, I was in my late 30s, everything was fine, and suddenly I started having migraines, and about 3 weeks later, I found out that I had a tumor in my pituitary gland. It was very scary, and it required brain surgery. So obviously, that is not cheap. Brain surgery is definitely extremely expensive, even if you have health insurance, which I had. So I had health insurance, and after the surgery, I had to spend 2 or 3 weeks. I can't remember. It was terrible. I had a lot of complications. I think it was a little over 2 weeks I spent in the hospital, and I was unable to work for, I think it was like about 4 or 5 months. And it left me in debt I think it was around $150,000, $160,000 after my insurance. And then a few years ago, I also developed viral meningitis, and I was unable to work for about 6 months. And of course, you know, you try to get ahead, you get some savings, and then something like that happens, an accident, an illness, something like that, and bam, you are in financial distress.
It is an endemic and universal problem here in the United States. When you look at personal bankruptcy filings in the United States, it's slightly over two-thirds of those are because of medical debt, which is just shocking. You write on your website just what you explained. Most of us are just one illness or accident or a lost job away from being homeless. And you say that you're committed to expanding Medicaid to reduce the cost of healthcare and prescription drugs. I mean, this is crisis level proportions. And we're looking at a MAGA party that apparently doesn't care. And that to me is just shocking. So I just wanted to start here and tell you, Sasha, I really appreciate you talking about this and sharing your personal experiences. And I also wanted to tell you, I too had meningitis when I was a child. Viral, but it takes a long time for them to figure out what is what. Mm-hmm. I was blessed because my parents had very good health insurance. But I have been between jobs and been stretching with Cobra, and I literally was sort of holding my breath, hoping that nothing bad happened, because so many of us, even with insurance, end up crushed by medical debt. This is not the way it is supposed to be. Putting a pin in this for a moment, I wanted you to share with everybody a little bit about your personal background, your family, where you grew up, because I also noticed on your website, and again, it's Ripley for Wisconsin, F-O-R, and her name, I guess, is Sasha Ripley. She's a candidate for Senate District 13. You talk about the importance of housing in rural Wisconsin, and I just wanted to give you the opportunity to share with people a bit of your background and why you're focusing on this extraordinary need that we have for more affordable housing in rural Wisconsin, not just in big cities like Madison and Milwaukee.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing that information about you also struggling with viral meningitis, because yes, it is serious and it is a challenge to get over. And we never know when things like that are going to happen to us. That's just it. No matter how hard we work, it's just a surprise. Yes, thank you for asking me about my background. So I lived in Marquette County most of my life. So Marquette County is a unique place. It's a great place. We have wonderful people and they're hard workers. Community is very important to us. People care about each other here. And so I've wanted to spend most of my life in the county. We have one stoplight in the entire county. So wow. It is, you're right. It is very rural. So very conservative as well. But again, it's such a close-knit community, small towns. The largest town is around 1,400 people. That's Montello. So that's in the county. Now, my district in general is fairly rural. I have all of Green Lake County, all of Marquette County, and most of Dodge and several small portions of counties, but it's fairly rural. And I graduated from UW Stevens Point. I was a single mom, so it took me about 8 years working part-time. I worked at a local family-owned pharmacy, Bentley Pharmacies. There were three pharmacies that they owned, and I worked in all of those while I was putting myself through college. And I got my degree in teaching. And I'm a certified teacher in psychology, political science, history, biology, social studies. So I worked really hard to try and be successful, but it's a struggle, especially in these small towns. There's not a lot of opportunity. And when you asked about the affordable housing, I have spent so much time here. I talked to a friend of mine who is a landlord, and she had a place up for rent. And she told me, and this was in Westfield, Wisconsin, about 1,300 people. She told me she had 80 people show up to the open house for one place. And I did, this was about a year ago. And so I thought, I'm going to look into it, see what's available in the area to rent. There was one other place to rent in the entire county. The whole county of about 15,000 people, one place to rent. And it's just, it's not sustainable. And we have price gouging, right? People, I was hearing that people were having their rent doubled, sometimes almost tripled overnight. And you can't tell me that landlords were fine paying their bills when the rent was $800 for the last 5 years, and then suddenly overnight they need to be making $1,600 a month.
Yeah, those, when you see rent jumps like that, it is truly shocking. And I made note, Sasha, on your website again, this is Ripley for Wisconsin. When you're talking about affordable housing in rural areas, you pointed out, and I don't know that everybody is aware that this is going on, that there are companies that effectively sell software or memberships that use mathematical algorithms to effectively help landlords price fix at levels that are far above what is the prevailing market rent. In other words, they're driving up the so-called market rents by colluding, by sharing this particular software program. This is specifically the RealPage company has been pointed out. They've done this in many, many states. The Biden Justice Department sued RealPage for this basically price-fixing scheme back in 2024. That lawsuit has basically gone kaput under Donald Trump. It's really challenging. If you're elected to Senate District 13, what's your plan to help with affordable housing in rural areas? And the problem that you've described, we're seeing everywhere, affordable single-family homes. People can't, used to be like, oh, I'm 30-ish, I'm going to buy my first home. They're so expensive. Many people I know have just given up on that dream. And you're talking about just being able to find a rental unit, for crying out loud. What's your plan if you're elected to Senate District 13?
So thank you so much for asking. First of all, I just want to bring up that they have started working on Democrats especially, but there is some bipartisan plans that people are looking at right now, which is great. It seems like it was a long time coming. It seems like it was being ignored. That is part of why I decided to run for office, is I felt like the most important things, I mean, housing is the largest, it's the most expensive thing most of us are going to be paying for. It hits us the hardest. So the accessory dwelling units, the ADUs, right now, that would be a great way. This wasn't my plan, but that would be a great way to you know, get people in a home quickly and affordably.
Yeah, the key, as you point out on your website again, is to increase supply, not in 3 years, but right now, so that people can access housing. Housing, if you have stable housing, you will keep that job, your kids will be in school, your life will be stable, and people are able to do for themselves. It is the key to human dignity. We're going to continue on the other side, my conversation with Sasha Ripley, candidate for State Senate District 13. She's also been teaching folks in GED and high school equivalency classes. We're going to talk about her thoughts about education on the other side. Stay with us.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Allure Intimate Apparel redefines what it means to feel confident, celebrating every woman, every shape, every size. Their expert fit specialists offer a refined, pressure-free experience designed for comfort, beauty, and ease. Bras, sleepwear, swim, and intimates, Allure has it all. With a personalized touch and a commitment to exceptional service, Allure helps women feel effortlessly supported every single day. An elevated new location is now open in the Hilldale Shopping Center, where fit meets sophistication. Visit AllureFits.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
State Street strolls, lakeside bike rides, and conversations that go late into the night. That's Madison. And that's what you'll hear on 92.7 WMDX. Real voices, real news, real connection. Because this city isn't just where we broadcast, it's where we live. WMDX. Made in Madison, for Madison.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 4:30, we have a segment called Broad Appeal. I talk to women, candidates, elected officials, activists, and organizers about their efforts to make their communities stronger, more resilient, and overall more healthy. We've got a candidate with us this Wednesday right now. Her name's Sasha Ripley. She is running for the state Senate seat in District 13, covering Marquette County, Green Lake, Dodge. I'm forgetting another county that you cover as well, am I not?
Yes. So all of Marquette, all of Green Lake, most of Dodge, a small portion of Jefferson, a small part of Fond du Lac, Winnebago, and also Adams.
Wow. You're going to be busy driving around, yes, visiting all of your hopefully constituents. Yes. Before we went to break, you and I were talking about housing. You mentioned that you wanted to make a couple of other points before we talked about your experience in education. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Yes, it is so important, both for the price of houses, you know, to purchase a house, but also rental properties, to increase supply. Wisconsin, along with many parts of the country, but Wisconsin is so behind on housing. We need a huge amount of houses built. We need so many houses built. We need to increase supply. I would like to see something similar to, say, USDA direct loans, construction loans, which don't work for USDA construction. It would need to be changed. But my idea is that I would like to see very, very low interest loans to construct houses for new construction, modest, affordable, single family homes with low interest rates sponsored by the state to get houses built. Because right now they're doing some things like, you know, changes in zoning and some things like that. And that's fine and it's helpful, but is it really going to build 200,000 houses if you make some changes in zoning? Sometimes I feel like, you know, they say, yes, we're doing all these policies, you know, for affordable housing, but is it just to say that they're doing something, or is it really something that's going to make a difference? So that is something that I would really like to see. I know that, I mean, vouchers, down payment assistance, those things are helpful. But if you really think about it, unless we start building homes, it just increases the price of the few homes there are.
We need, like, it's sort of an all of the above approach. It's going to require looking carefully at zoning, especially for multifamily unit dwellings. There are never enough of those. It's going to take jurisdictions looking at landlord discrimination. There's a lot of discrimination that's going on. Yes. It's going to take looking at, of course, the supply end problem and the pipeline and trying to expedite that. And especially a focus on, hey, why aren't we seeing new construction for entry-level home purchases, right? Mm-hmm. That you mentioned, you hit this really hard, and this is so important. You see a lot of construction of the McMansion 500-plus, 400-plus thousand. That is not a freaking entry-level home for people. We've got to make housing affordable. We need a much greater concentration of new housing starts in that range of 300 and less. And frankly, the private equity companies snapping up all of this stuff all over the place ain't helping this one little bit. I am so impressed, Sasha, by your insights that are specific on this these big range of issues. And I'm especially impressed, and I think it's so inspirational, that you have spent parts of your professional life helping people get their GEDs or high school equivalency. And I wanted you to share some of the experiences that you've had trying to help people navigate the educational system.
Thank you so much. Yes, I find teaching GED so rewarding, so fulfilling. I spent some time under a federal grant for a high school alternative school. This was many, many years ago, but I taught students who had been expelled, or maybe they were sick and couldn't go to school, or they were suspended, or they quit, or they were pregnant and didn't, you know, just weren't able to go to school full time. And then I have been teaching GED and HSED classes to low-income adults for Sauk County. A lot of them have been incarcerated or they are incarcerated. Also sometimes in drug treatment programs. And it's just so important for people's future to at least be able to have a high school diploma.
I applaud that. I applaud you for doing that. There's sort of a construct that I refer to frequently. If you come from a family of great means and you do well and you go to college and you get your degree, and that's, good on you. But basically, I'm going to give you a C. You had every advantage. Your parents paid the bill for your college education. You get a C. For people that face these kinds of obstacles to getting their GED, getting their high school equivalency, whether that was a period of incarceration, access, homelessness, which we've been talking about, when folks like that are able to persevere and attain education like their GED or high school equivalents, or Sasha, like you did, working as a single mom to get your college diploma over 8 years. Folks like you and the people that you've helped achieve that hallmark in their lives, folks like you get an A+ in my book, because you had so many more obstacles in front of you. We're going to have to leave it there. Big, big congrats to Sasha Ripley for her candidacy for the State Senate District 13 seat. Find out more about her and her platform at ripley4wisconsin.com. When we come back, I'm talking to Amanda Martinez and William Park Sutherland, both of Kids Forward. We talk about the emergency food assistance crisis that is looming here in the state of Wisconsin and beyond. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After announcing he would not be meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin in Hungary today, President Trump, speaking alongside NATO's Secretary General, says the U.S. is adding new sanctions against Russia's two largest oil companies in a renewed effort to get Russia to end its war in Ukraine. It comes as Russia launched fresh drone attacks across Ukraine, killing at least 10 and hitting a kindergarten in Kharkiv. The Senate taking up another vote right now on efforts to end the government shutdown, now in its fourth week. ABC's Selena Wang says furloughed federal workers are still not getting paid, including congressional staff.
Lawmakers, they are continuing to get their paychecks, but their staffers are not. They missed their first paycheck on Monday, and federal workers are set to miss a paycheck this Friday.
In Israel, Vice President J.D. Vance met with Israel's prime minister today, asking for patience on the return of deceased hostages in Gaza. Vance also says the U.S. remains confident the ceasefire will hold. This is ABC News.